You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck, Jamie Spence and Jamie Kennedy.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as we look ahead to the first major of the year, the Masters at Augusta, where Danny Willits is the defending champion.
You dream about these kind of days and things like that, but for them to happen, you know, there's four a year. So to actually be sat here is just, it's still mind-boggling.
Meanwhile, Rory McIlroy's determination to win a green jacket and with it a career Grand Slam is as strong as ever.
Winning Augusta is difficult enough, but I think that's the most important thing. Like, you want to win the tournament that week. You want to beat the guys that you're playing against, and if you do that, you know that all this other great stuff comes along with it.
We've a full and comprehensive preview of one of the greatest events in sport, where you'll hear more from Willits and McIlroy, as well as Jordan Spieth, Henrik Stenson and John Rahm. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and this week I'm joined by two Jamies, former European Tour winner Jamie Spence and the European Tour's content director Jamie Kennedy. Hello to you both.
Hello, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
And I think for the purpose of this podcast, Jamie, we might drop you from a Jamie Spence to a Spencey. Is that all right?
I think that's better. We want two Jamies, do we?
First of all, Mr. Spence, Spencey, you are fresh from a decent performance on the European Senior Tour at the Sharjah Senior Golf Masters presented by Sharuk. You did very well.
Worn out. I wouldn't say fresh. Hung in there, Dan, for 11th place. So, yeah, great venue, in great nick as well. Practice facilities there are world-class. So, yeah, it was a good week.
And Jamie Kay, tell us a little bit more about your role at the European Tour and what it entails.
Yeah, I'm a long-time listener, first-time guest, so thank you for having me. Yeah, I head up the digital content for the European Tour, started in our social media department with such videos as the Billy interviews and the fastest hole and Mannequin Challenge, and now creating a lot of the sort of video and online content that the fans see every day and trying to produce stuff to show off the players.
Yeah, it'd be great to get your views on the Masters. We don't have an event to review, of course, this week, but a brilliant one to look forward to. The first major of the year at Augusta National. Jamie Spence, still got to get used to Spencey. What do you look forward to most of all about the first major of the year?
Well, it's the start of the golfing season, especially in the UK and probably Northern Europe as well, Dan. So I think it's a time of the year where everyone starts thinking about golf again. Me included, really. It's something you always look forward to. It's always in pristine condition, and the memories come flooding back of past brilliance from plenty of our golfing heroes. So it's a start, really, for me, of the golfing season up here in cold Northern Europe.
It's a golf event, Jamie Kay, that leaps from just the golf pages in the press and television, and everybody who's interested in sport and maybe even beyond that gets into the Masters, don't they?
Definitely, yeah. I think it's the prestige of the event. I think certainly I've got a lot of early April friends that get in touch around the start of April to find out who's in form. And I think it's just that anticipation, as you say. I think it's 245 days since the last major, so everyone's just ready for it. And for me, it's hearing that music when you see Magnolia Lane. It gets the hairs on the back of your neck, and it's just everyone's ready to kick off the major season.
Well, first, let's cast our minds back to last year and a somewhat unlikely victory for Danny Willett. The Englishman capitalised on Jordan Spieth's misfortune to claim his first major title by three shots.
You dream about these kind of days and things like that, but for him to happen, you know, there's four a year. So to actually be sat here is just, it's still mind-boggling. You know, be able to sit here with a green jacket on and obviously chatting to you guys. You know, the fact that we've been able to come through everything that's happened and play so well under the pressure that we did on the back nine today. And, you know, I've won a couple of golf tournaments around the world, but this is just a different league. You know, it's a major, it's the Masters.
Of course, everyone remembers Willett's win and indeed Spieth's demise. Jordan, I think, was still shell-shocked, Jamie Kay, when he put the green jacket on Danny Willett. But Danny had to hold his nerve as well. He wasn't really given to him on a complete plate, was it?
No, not at all. And I think the months since have probably done Danny some justice. I think a lot of people remembered it for Spieth immediately. But I think, you know, Danny's final round was only the third bogey-free final round of 67 or lower by a Masters champion. And that says a lot. Looking back, I had the chance. I was out there for the first time last year and hung out with Danny and his caddy afterwards and spoke to his caddy about the final round. And he kept talking about that chip shot on 17. I think a lot of people remember the shot on 16, the tee shot when he took the lead. But that chip on 17 was just a difficult shot under difficult pressure, and he just handled it so well, dribbled it up to 3 feet, and then went down the last and made his par. But it was interesting that The only stat category that Danny led in the Masters last year was scrambling, and feeds into what he did there on 17. And I just think it's a short game golf course. A lot of people think of it as a long hitter's course, but Danny Willett's short game just was incredible last year.
Is it unusual just to lead in one stats category and win the Masters or not?
I think it probably is if you look back. I think there's definitely horses for courses around there. You think of players like Phil Mickelson and Jordan Spieth and Bubba Watson that seem to just do well there every year. I think it suits a certain type of game, but I think Danny showed that sort of a clutch final round and being able to capitalise on that mistake was down to a short game.
Spency, what do you remember of Danny's success from 12 months ago?
Last three holes, yeah. What's most impressive is when you're in the heat of the battle like that, he must have been shocked when he walked down to 16th. Tee there and saw that Spieth had taken seven on a par three. That's a huge drop on the leaderboard of four shots. Suddenly you're thinking, I can really win this. I mean, he's playing, as Jamie said, he's playing super golf, as was Lee Westwood as well, actually, at the time. It was a case of which one's going to grab it here. Danny Bird is 16, I say, and the up and down at 17, I think he said that was his best shot of the week. As it happens, he won by three, so he didn't need to go through all that sweat and pain on that chip shot anyway. And then he parred the last as well, and that's a tough hole. So it's the way he gathered himself together, and I think he said, I just need five good swings, and I'm going to be wearing a green jacket. And it's a great way of thinking.
It was a surprise win, but he was in good form.
Yeah.
Ahead of last year's Masters. This time around, it's a bit different, isn't
it? Yeah, well, yeah, he won in Switzerland, won in Dubai, won some big events, Danny. So he was going in there in good form and below the radar as well. That always helps. Where there's lately, you're right, he struggled a little bit. He played well in Malaysia. I followed him on course. He played well there in Italy last year. He had a chance to win. So it's not... Yeah, but I think when you're the Masters champion, people expect you to carry on that sort of supreme form, and that hasn't quite happened. That green jacket has weighed quite heavy on his shoulders.
It has indeed. What sort of chances has he got of retaining his title, Jamie Kay?
Well, if winning it is tough, I think defending it is even tougher. And I think, as Jamie Spence just said, I think he's maybe struggled a little bit, but shows signs that he's still a top player. But I think he's just struggled a little bit off the tee since his win last year. I think one of the memories from last year was how quickly he would pick up his tee after driving on that back nine. It was just unbelievable to watch him hit his three-wooder driver. He picked up his tee immediately. He just had so much confidence off the tee. And I think when that goes, it can impact the rest of your game. But with a short game like him, I mean, it's still really sharp. I definitely wouldn't count him out for this week. He could be a bit of a dark horse.
Well, that was our reflection on Danny's win last year. What about this year? Before we take a look at those who we think will contend come Sunday, let's just talk about the course at Augusta National. No changes, Jamie Spence, have been announced at time of recording, but I guess it could change this week. What is the course like? Give listeners a general overview of Augusta National.
Incredibly hilly. And you always look at guys who can hit the ball a long way because obviously it helps around there, but it's around the greens. I mean, the greens are severe and fast, and if you miss them, chipping becomes a premium as well. We look at aiming corner there. They're really the key holes. I mean, that's where Spieth started, bogey 10, 11, then he had that quad on 12. So that's really the key of the golf course. You can keep your round going on that sector. And they've lengthened the golf course over the years. They can't really make it any longer unless they push it out of the boundaries of the golf course. So it is what it is now. And I think the left-handers have a big advantage. The fact that they can cut the ball around these holes. A lot of holes go right to left. So for Bubba and Phil, they've got great records there. The fact they cut the ball around the corners is a big advantage.
What were your first impressions when you went last year? Was it everything you imagined it to be? Were certain things different?
I think it played into everything you've seen. You've seen it so many times on TV, but as Jamie Spencer said, the hills are something you just can't appreciate unless you go. I remember walking down the first hole for the first time and thinking, if you don't hit it 300 yards down the first hole, you're on a 45-degree angle hitting a 200-yard shot into the first hole of the Masters, and the 10th hole just falls off a cliff there. And yeah, aim in corner, you know, it's just an absolute mecca for golf down there. When you get down there, it just feels very different, the sort of audience and the crowd noise that you get down there. And interestingly, those three holes, 10, 11, 12 in order, have played first, second and third hardest historically at Augusta. So it just shows you a lot of it can come down to that in the back nine on Sunday.
We've talked already about certain types of players that do well. You talked about short game and putting well. The greens are quick. Everyone talks about players that have got to knock it long out there, they've got an advantage. Is there one key attribute that a player's got to have? Has all your game got to be there, Jamie?
Well, it's a full test, isn't it? You take Danny won last year with 5 under par. The year before that, Spieth was 18 under par. So it depends how the course is playing as well. If it's playing firm, which it was when Zach Johnson won back in 07, by the way, 1 over par he won with, and the wind gets up, it plays really tricky. But if it's soft, you can shoot some numbers and get your game going. So it depends on the conditions entirely, but you've got to have an all-round game.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. I've been looking at the forecast for this week and they're expecting some thunderstorms today and Wednesday. And, you know, if they get a little rain there and it plays a little longer and the ball's not rolling, I think that takes out a few players in the field. I think you've got to be able to...
So Dustin Johnson's rubbing his hands as we speak.
Exactly.
Come on, rain. He's going, rain.
Exactly. But there's so many holes on that course that you need to get a long way down. And a lot of players have benefited from a bit of roll. But if that rain comes in, then... certainly looking at players like Jamie says, like Dustin, that are going to do well.
I guess it just makes the second shot a lot easier. If you're going in with wedges rather than long irons, you can put it to the places of the green where you need to put it.
Wherever you play in professional golf, if it's firm, it's difficult because you can't control the golf ball so well. If it's soft, it becomes so much easier, especially for the longer hitters. Simple.
And I think it plays to the greens. You know, the greens are huge with all these slopes that... just hitting the green at Augusta is not enough. You need to hit the right section. You need to hit the right slope and roll it. So if you're going in with a wedge or a 9-iron, it's much easier to find that quarter section of the green than it is with a 5-iron off a side hill lie and things like that.
So. Are there certain holes that players will look to pick up shots whenever I watch it on television? You look at the par fives and yeah. if you're following a player and one of your favourite players, you think, right now, I know he's got an opportunity maybe to pick up a shot here.
It's obvious the par fives, but also pin positions. I mean, that's 16th. They put that flag top right. You don't see anybody get close to it. They spin down the front there, don't they? But you put it in that little left-hand shelf there. You fancy having a hole in one. You fancy seeing a hole in one, don't you? So it's not just the hole. It's where they put the flag.
I must admit, favourite holes for me is probably the 16. It's fantastic to watch, especially on the last day. You just think, you know, it's sensational theatre. It's obviously not quite Phoenix, but it's almost bordered all the way around. Have you got favourite holes at all?
Yeah, I think for me, 16's great. I mean, the first time I went there last year, I walked out in a practice round. The first golf shot I ever saw was Rory McIlroy making a hole-in-one on that hole in practice.
That's brilliant.
I thought I could just probably leave a happy man then, but... I think one hole that stands out that doesn't get a lot of attention is a sixth, the par three sixth. They've got a couple of incredible pin positions there. And if you get the chance to stand up on that tee and see them hit over that huge valley down to sort of a very tricky green, it just sums up everything there is to know about Augusta in terms of a tough tee shot and just an incredible green.
Par threes, par fives, isn't it? 12th. What a great hole. Runs diagonally. You see a lot of guys go left to the green there. They're actually pin high, but they're in the bushes because they're just protecting against going in the water. So... par threes are fantastic.
Just last thing as well, we talk about the par fives and how they're reachable and that's where you have to make your score. It's interesting to know that Danny Willett only played them in level par last year.
That's got to be unusual, hasn't it?
Very, very unusual. I think Rory had him by 8 or 9 shots on the par fives, but it just shows you how Danny's game was on the other holes. But I think that's probably a rarity. I think you really need to take advantage of the par fives.
So you're wearing the green jacket come Sunday night. What have you done well over the course of the previous 4 days?
You've beaten all the other competitors there. It's pretty simple. You've holed a few parts, you've hit a few
because
shots close.
But I'm listening to Jamie Kay here talk about what Willett did last year. Was that an anomaly that he didn't score heavily on the par fives, that he topped the scrambling? I don't know.
He was only 5 under. He was playing difficult last year. So actually your birdie count didn't make so much difference as making pars and keeping it going. So it was a different golf course last year. Whereas I suppose when Spieth got to 19 under the previous year, no one's ever got to 19 under before. One with 18 under as it happened. So different course. I think you see better scoring this year.
It's going to be the short game. I mean, we say it enough, but yeah, it might be playing a bit longer, but seems to always be the guy that's holding those 6-8 foot tough putts at Augusta for par that is up there. And I think when you see that green jacket slipped on, that guy will be smiling knowing that he's made a lot of those.
So, on to the 90 or so players who will be teeing it up at Augusta National this week. And where better to start than world number one, Dustin Johnson. Spence, he's not playing badly at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, he's doing all right, isn't he? I think his bank balance is looking... Yeah, he's doing all right. Yeah, he's phenomenal, isn't he? He's really... His long game's always been fantastic. And I think he's improved that and become more consistent. But his short game's become a lot better. I'm still not sure it's up to Augusta... standard. I think that's what might catch him out. I was just looking at a bunker stat between him and Ricky Fowler. Ricky's 80% leading the bunker stats out in America. Mind you, they've got so many stats in America, Jay. How'd you go through all those stats they have in America? it's just so confusing. But that bunker stat, and Dustin Johnson's only 40%, and he's improved, and his putting stats aren't quite as good. So it's going to be round the greens for Dustin Johnson.
I'll give you a stat then, Spencer.
Throw one.
So obviously we heard a lot that he's been working on his wedge game. He hits at miles and he's improved his wedge game. But it's really around the greens that I think we've seen an improvement. I think 2-3 years ago you saw Dustin Johnson on a big event trying to get up and down. You got a bit nervous. But So in 2015, strokes gained around the greens, that's basically how good you're getting up and down. On the US Tour, he was 160th 2 years ago. He was 75th last year, and he's 6th this year.
That is serious progression. The trajectory is very good. He's going in the right direction, no doubt about that. Well, what do Dustin Johnson's colleagues feel about the world number one's form at the moment? One of those trying to keep up with him is Jordan Spieth. The two-time major champion was asked if he has been surprised by his fellow Americans' recent rapid rise to the top.
Not the slightest bit. I believe you guys can all attest I called this. Am I wrong? I mentioned this for going back years. Dustin Johnson's probably the most talented player. And it's a matter of time. Once he gets that click, and he gets, whether it was the U.S. Open or it probably was the U.S. Open looking back on it now, he just got over that hurdle. And whatever free up he needed that we didn't need him to have, he got. And I mean, I'm not trying to say told you so, but I definitely called this. And I've been quoted as doing so. So I'm not in the least bit surprised that he is the guy to beat, and it's going to be very difficult at this point considering he was number one and he's won two World Golf Championships in two starts. So I'm pretty sure he's got a big lead now. I don't really follow it closely, but major championships have huge weight, and I'm not focused on trying to win majors to get to the number one anymore. It's just trying to do it to do it. So that side of things, getting number one isn't a pressure that I feel. But that's the only way to really take big strides towards him, because I don't think he's letting up anytime soon.
That was Jordan Spieth talking about Dustin Johnson. We'll talk about Jordan Spieth's chances shortly. Just on DJ, comes into this one, Jamie Kay, off the back of three consecutive wins. That's been done going into the Masters three times previously. Do you know this stat?
I don't.
I'm outstatting the stat man, which is good. So on three previous times, Spencer, we've had a player going into the Masters having won three times on the PGA Tour. Only once before, though, have they managed to win the Masters. If you know who this is, I'll give you a tenner apiece.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, the obvious one is Tiger Woods. It's obviously not him.
It's not Tiger Woods.
That's not my guess.
It's Jimmy Demerit back in 1940. I'm glad I've outstated the stat.
You're a hit at parties, aren't you, Dan?
Exactly. Don't get stuck in me in a lift with me. He's the man to beat, Jamie Kay, isn't he, this week?
Yeah, no doubt. I think everyone's been so impressed by how he's played when he's got to world number one. I don't think he's lost an event since he's taken over the world number one spot. So definitely the one to beat. I think every part of his game is firing. He's got a sneaky good record at Augusta. I think he gets overlooked sometimes, but he's finished top six there the last 2 years. So it might help players like Spieth and Rory that Dustin will be getting all the questions and comes in as the favourite. I don't think they've been in that position the last couple of years, but certainly there'll be a lot of eyeballs on him on the first tee Thursday.
His record wasn't great up until the last couple of years, but as Jamie Kay's mentioned, Spencey, it's got better over the last couple of renewals, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. So I still have slight reservations. I think it's a course he's underachieved on, quite frankly. He's been one under par for four rounds three times, and in 2015 he was nine under, so he's going to have to get it in double figures, I think, to win. But could he be in better form? No. He's in the prime of his life. He's 32. He's got over all those disappointments. We saw him in majors, three-putt in the last at Chambers Bay, and other courses where he's just, St. George's where he struggled and others. So, but he's got through that. He's a proper player, and he's the one to beat.
But I mean, Jamie Kay's talking about the way that he's improved his game, but it's his mentality as well.
Doesn't bother, does he?
No, and off the course, it seems to be working for him. I think his wife is pregnant again. Yeah. Everything seems to be,
he's sorted himself out, hasn't he? He reminds me of an American Sandy Lowe, not bothered on the golf course, knows how good he is. Gets on with it. Sandy was phenomenal in his day, and Dustin Johnson's just got that length about him. He can dominate the fields, he can bully players, and he doesn't look flustered one little bit, whatever comes his way. Hence his US Open win last year when he had that penalty looming over him. Didn't bother him, just got on with the job.
Well, one man who'll be hoping to halt Dustin Johnson this week is Rory McIlroy. The four-time major winner came closest to victory back in 2011, but a four-shot final round lead quickly evaporated with an 8-over par 80, and he still hasn't forgotten about it.
It still hurts, of course it does. You know, but at the same time, I've moved on and I've won majors and I've made a pretty good career for myself since that. But I think back and think about what could have been, and you know, if that hadn't have went wrong, I wouldn't have to answer the questions that I have to answer this time of the year every year until I win one. You know, there's a lot of that stuff that goes through your head, but you learn from it, you move on, and you know, hopefully when I get myself in that position again at Augusta, I'm going to do better. I sort of feel a little bit like what Phil goes through when he goes to the US Open, but at the same time, I haven't finished second at Augusta six times. I can only imagine what goes through his head when he turns up to the US Open. But yeah, winning Augusta is difficult enough, but I think that's the most important thing. Like you want to win the tournament that week. You want to beat the guys that you're playing against, and if you do that, you know that all this other great stuff comes along with it.
Jamie Kay, as Rory mentions there, until he wins it, he's going to ask the same questions about that 2011 collapse every single year. And it obviously still plays on his mind. What have you made of Rory McIlroy this year? What do you think his chances are going into the 2017 Masters?
Yeah, it's been a funny year for Rory, I think, so far. I think, you know, he came out with all the new equipment, new ball, new driver in the bag in South Africa, played very well, but was obviously hindered a little bit by his rib injury. But I was there in South Africa, and I have to say, he looked really, really good on the greens. He had this new putter, a new ball in play. He looked comfortable again. He was stroking it well, and I think that bodes well for this week. But we just haven't seen a lot of him. So when he's played solid, but you know, Augusta's a whole new thing, and he's talked in recent months about preparing differently for it than he has in the past, and it'll be interesting to see how many practice holes he plays, how often he's in the interview room and answering questions, because I think he knows there's a monkey on his back with this one, but he's trying not to let it on as much.
He's never going to be under the radar, Rory McIlroy, Spencey.
No.
But he's not coming to Augusta off the back of, you know, Johnson's wins or indeed anything really disastrous, because he's been playing okay. Oh, yes, he got knocked out of the match play in the group stages, but he was fourth at Bay Hill. He's not completely out of form.
No, he's not. No, I think he'd like to have played a few more rounds of the match play. The fact that Gary Woodland pulled out, I mean, he missed that game as well. So I'd like to see him play a bit more golf. It hasn't been the way. Jamie makes a great point that sort of the heat's off him a little bit, I think, with the form of Dustin Johnson and Spieth's incredible form around Augusta as well. So Rory isn't the talk of the town. Well, he still is because he can win that career slam, but the glow of the light might just be off him a little bit. That's all I'd say. But has he played enough golf this year? Only he knows that.
Yeah, and it's interesting. There's a lot of attention, you know, on our social channels. We ask, you know, who everyone thinks is going to do well, and Rory's name comes up a lot. And we've actually asked for a few questions for you guys in the pod booth today, and we've got one on Instagram from Rory McIlroy World. So I don't know if that's his own account or if that's a fan account, but
better be careful then.
Rory McIlroy World wants to know, what's the one key to Rory finally slipping on the green jacket? Spencey, what do you think the one thing he needs to do well is?
Well, people focus on his putting. I think it's his driving. When he drives the ball well, Rory drives the ball beautifully and long and straight, and I think if he puts himself in position off the tee, I think he's going to go very, very close, because I think the rest of his game seems to me to fall around that.
I think you talked about scrambling last year with Danny Willett. Does Rory get up and down enough? Does he get
doesn't
himself
need
out,
to,
of,
Dan.
Does he get himself out of situations when he's in those situations?
A bit like Dustin Johnson, because they play so well, they don't normally need to scramble. And you wouldn't look at those two players and think, oh, there's a good scrambler. They're just great players, ball strikers. They hit lots of greens, and that's how they win their tournaments. And
is he a good enough putter?
Yeah, of course he is. He's won four majors.
Yeah, he's definitely a good enough putter. It's interesting. We've got a lot of statistics in our editorial this week, and one that jumps out at you is that if you combine the PGA Tour and the European Tour based on putts per green in regulation, so Rory hits a lot of greens, but how does he do? He's actually number one in putts per green in regulation this season of any player in the Masters field. So
he's rubbish. Rubbish, Dan.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here. He was ranked 22nd for putting at Mexico for the WGC event. I'm trying to make the case against.
What you are.
I know it's a forlorn hope with two confirmed Rory McIlroy fans in the
but
studio.
But all these putting stats don't mean diddly squat around Augusta, because you're putting on different surfaces with massive slope and they're very, very fast. So having a putting stat on a green that rolls at 10 on Bermuda greens in South Africa isn't the same as putting on these bent greens at Augusta.
It's strange, isn't it? Because Rory obviously went so close in 2011. I think amongst an awful lot of us, before he'd won a major, would we say that the Masters was the best fit for his game anyway?
Yeah, I think so. I think just like Spencey said, the way he drives the ball, I mean, around that course, hitting a big draw and hitting it long just really suits it. I think one interesting thing is that we've talked about the Masters playing a little more difficult in recent years scoring-wise. Rory's never won an event when he's shot worse than 12 under par. So for Rory, it almost needs to be a bit of a shootout. I think he needs to feel birdies are on the card.
Stat.
So if it's a tough challenge around par, I think Rory maybe sometimes forces things a little bit, but when it's a birdie fest out there, there's few better in the game when he's on his game.
So we've talked about Rory, we've talked about DJ. Let's move on to discuss the rest of the top 10 in the world. Jason Day, first up, Spensy. Obviously, he's had issues with his mother, who's getting treatment for cancer at the moment. We believe that she's in a better place now. She's getting treatment in America, so he's happier on the course. That, unfortunately, is going to have effect on his game. He pulled out of the WGC. But in terms of his golf at the Masters, he's got a fair record. And I guess he should have won it, shouldn't he, back in, was it 2011 or 2013 when Adam Scott won?
Yeah, it was a great year for him last year. He's suffered his injury troubles as well. He's not really played enough. He's had a disrupted preparation for this. So I can't see as good a player as he is. I think he's sort of a player. He needs to play quite a bit of golf to get his game going. I wouldn't be tipping Jason Day.
Yeah, I think when he played last year, he was on such a good run of form that he played well every week. And like Spencey says, he sort of plays his way into form. But he's only had one top 10 and 6 starts so far this year. Questions about his mental state with everything that's been going on.
Wouldn't surprise you though, would it? He wouldn't surprise if he popped up with his game, but it looks unlikely.
Let's move on to Hideki Matsuyama, who was winning or finishing second pretty much every single week towards the back end of 2016. Has his form just tailed off a little?
Yeah, no doubt. I think everyone was just amazed at how well he was playing. I think he won 4 times in 5 starts across the world, and it's gone off a little bit. His swing comes down to a lot of timing, you know, and he has that pause at the top. And maybe if that just goes a tiny bit and he doesn't have it quite on form, it's a struggle for him. He's got 1 top 20 in his last 7 starts. But, whether his form's quite there, one thing that his coach, I'm sure, will be saying to him and our stats pick up again is that he's the best in the field over Amen Corner. So the 3 toughest holes historically at Augusta, Hideki's almost a fifth of a shot better than the field. So it'll be interesting to see if he can click again at Augusta, because I think everyone knows when he's really on, he's a very, very tough guy to beat.
Yeah, 4th in the world at the moment, 7th last year at Augusta, Spensy, and 5th prior to that. He's got to come into calculations, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. He's had a great winter winning the HSBC, defended at Phoenix recently as well. But you're right, since then, I don't know, he's gone off the boil. He might play him in corner well, but he's got to play the rest of the golf course. I've really fancied him, actually, early in the season, because he just seemed to be taking all before him, but hasn't really transpired, so I can't have him either.
Let's hear from Henrik Stenson next, who says he's made changes to his game in a bid to improve his record at the Masters.
I keep on coming back, I keep on trying, so I'm heading into my 12th straight Masters appearance, and I'm willing to agree with you. T14 is not really what I was looking for in 11 goals. That's my best finish. I think there's a number of things. Some of them I've kind of tried to address and do better in my preparation. To give you a few, maybe, as you know, I normally hit a lot of fairways. I don't think you get as much out of that at Augusta because the rough is so low and the fairways are kind of wide. So accuracy off the tee might not be the number one key, more so to get length on quite a few of the holes. So we're trying to get the driver in play on a couple of the holes where we maybe played a bit too conservative in the past. In terms of putting, I had the guys at Lake Nona to work a bit of extra to speed up the practice green to really get that slick and get those really short putts with a lot of break, which we don't always get to play and practice that as much. So I've done some things differently, and hopefully that will pay off in the right direction.
The Swede, who's number 5 in the world, he's never finished in the top 10 at Augusta. He's finished tied 14th. That's his best, as he mentioned there. Spensy, I hate it when golfers say they change their game to play at the Masters. I just think of Martin Kaymer and what happened to him, but he's only talking about subtle changes by the sounds of things.
Yeah, he's not changing his game. He's just making the putting green a bit quicker so he can get used to that. But the big thing for him is his driving. You talked about it there. Henrik hits that 3-wood of his, which goes like a rocket at 280. But round here, it's not enough. You've got to hit it further than that. So he's got to take his driver out, which we don't see him with the driver that often. So he knows he's got to drive the ball. He's got to. He can't give Dustin Johnson 50 yards, 40 yards, whoever he's playing with off the tee. So he's got to get the driver out, and that's what he's working on.
Hitting greens at Augusta is not enough. These greens are so big and so tough that just hitting the middle of the green isn't going to put you in contention necessarily. So, I mean, Henrik over the last 12 months has been arguably the best player in the world along with Dustin Johnson. I think he's got this maturity and contentment about him that he seems to be playing well in, and I certainly wouldn't look back at his stats too much in terms of predicting how he's going
to
get on this
year. I was about to say, I mean, we say he's not finished in the top 10. He's finished in the top 20 enough times. It's not as if he can't play Augusta.
No, not at all. I think he's had four straight top 25, so it shows that he's not missing cuts, and he's certainly there on the weekends. It's just whether he can get that putter going. And like Jamie Spence said, if he can have confidence to take out his driver and swing it like he swings his three wood, then he'll be up there again.
Jordan Spieth missed the cut in Houston, Jamie Kay, last week. We've seen players miss the cut in their previous event a week before the Masters and go on a win. I think Jose Maria Alathabal did it. I think Angel Cabrera might have done it as well. It's not a huge negative. What do you think about Jordan Spieth's chances this week? Because his Augusta form is just tremendous.
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, what a start he's had to his Masters career, just losing out to two guys in his first three starts. So I wouldn't read too much into his missed cut. I think a couple of extra days practice at Augusta is probably not a bad thing for him. And a few stats that throw out with Spieth that are pretty scary. You know, he didn't play all that well at Augusta last year and still had a 5-shot lead, I think, going on to the back nine. But people said his iron play struggled a little bit last year. He ranked 87th in strokes gained approach to the green. This year he ranks first in approach to the green. So he's got the game in position. We all know how good that putter can be on the Augusta greens. And while Dustin might come in as the statistical favourite, I think a lot of eyes will be on Jordan come Thursday.
Form figures, Spency, of 2-1-2 over the last 3 years for Mr. Spieth.
Pretty impressive, isn't it? 28 birdies when he won as well a couple of years ago. That's pretty impressive as well. And the only guy who's got to 19 under on this golf course. So I don't know, though. You know, I think it does make a difference. He made the cut. His preparation was to play in Houston. He didn't make the cut. So that tells me his game last week wasn't great. I think I'd rather have seen him do what Ricky Fowler did or John Rahm or Justin Rose and had a nice top 20 or a top 10 or something like that, but he didn't do it. How can you keep holing those putts? That's the question I want to throw out there, because it's incredible the amount of putts he's holed over the last few years around Augusta. And I just don't think you can carry that on. So I think those form figures might get disrupted, but Jamie's going to disagree.
No, not at all. I'm just whenever he decides to write a book on how to read putts, I think it'll be a bestseller.
There's no doubt about that.
You better write it quickly.
You mentioned in dispatches there, Ricky Fowler, who's number 8 in the world. Justin Thomas, we've got to mention as well, and Adam Scott in this particular section. Just on Ricky, first of all, looked like he was, well, probably going to win after certainly day one at Houston. But we talk about putting. I think he three-putted the par 5 on the Friday, four-putted on the Saturday. I mean, OK, he finishes in third in the end, wasn't it? But when you've had putting woes the week before, that might seep into your mindset a little bit.
Yeah, I think when I say I'm not too worried about Spieth's form missing the cut, for players playing the week before, you want to get into contention to see how you react to it. And I think Fowler certainly on Saturday night there on the last green, four putting under pressure when he's around the lead, I think maybe is a bit of a worry. I think he's scrambling very well this year. I think he leads the stats on the PGA Tour in terms of scrambling around the greens, which bodes well for him. And we know he can play well in majors. He's a very streaky player, Ricky. You have no idea what you're going to get from him, but certainly the couple of the instances last week would worry me a little.
Yeah, slight concern maybe about Ricky Fowler's form. Of course, Adam Scott. Spence, he missed the cut, kicked off with a 68 in Houston, followed it up with a 77. He had the weekend off, but a former Masters champ.
Yeah, that's bodes well for Adam. He's an experienced campaigner now, Adam Scott. I still remember him as a young man coming out in 2000, played Moroccan Open. It's his first event on the European Tour a long time ago. Has he played enough golf this year, Stato?
He's not played a lot. I think he's only made two or three sort of top-level starts. And is that enough?
Yeah, it's not enough, no. So we'd have to discount Adam at this stage as well, but again, quality player.
Do we discount Justin Thomas? Had a brilliant start to the year. Jordan Spieth's best pal, of course, on the tour, and it looked like he was going to do something spectacular. But again, his form has dipped at the wrong time for the first major.
Yeah, I think we hear he's Jordan Spieth's friend a lot, and I'm hoping that he's probably taken some tips from his best friend when it comes to how to play Augusta. To me, he's the kind of guy that could do well at Augusta. He really goes after the ball off the tee, hits it long, and when he's playing well, he can scramble extremely well. I think he was second to Danny Willett last year around Augusta in scrambling, although he didn't play that well. But certainly the type of game that could do well at Augusta, and he might sneak into the top five.
Yeah. I agree. I think he's got a really good chance. Fact that his form's dipped a bit, but he can't keep going on doing what he was doing early in the season. So would be no surprise for the long-hitting Thomas to be in there.
Well, we've mentioned a few players from the European Tour who are expected to challenge this week, such as Rory McIlroy and Henrik Stenson. But who else could stake a claim from this side of the Atlantic? Alex Noren wants to talk about, first of all, a debutant. Amazing that it's his first go at Augusta, because I think Spence, he's played in 14 previous majors. And given what he did last year, I know it's his debut, I'm not saying he's going to win, but he'll expect to go well.
Works really hard, Alex. Got a great short game. Putts lovely with that left below right. I love the way he putts. But driving, he's talked to me in interviews before about that's the area of the game he has to improve. He cuts the ball off the tee. That's a big minus, as we know, round here. So, yeah, that's what's against Alex, not his form.
Yeah, I think he's done so well on the European Tour. He's a real front runner when he gets there, but he's just maybe not proved himself on that world stage quite yet. I don't think he's had a top 10 in a major, so he's maybe struggled under the biggest light. But an interesting one. He comes into the week ranked 10th in the world, is a debutant. I'm wondering if you guys maybe know who's the highest ranked rookie at Masters in history.
I know, because you told me earlier. But I let Dan have a go.
Oh, can I remember from an hour ago? Well, we were guessing, weren't we? And I think it's a tough question, so I'll let our listeners just ponder on it a second while I suggest players like Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods in 97. He had won three times, but he wasn't ranked inside the top 10.
Was he not?
No, it's just one player has been ranked inside the top 10. Noren comes in at 10, but I'll give you a clue. It was 2012.
2012. So we're looking for someone who burst onto the scene. American player?
American player, yes.
Won a major.
Had won a major, yes.
Come on then, Spencey.
Well, Webb Simpson.
Yeah. What was he ranked?
He was ranked number 9, so Noren's very close to it. I don't think Webb performed that well, but I mean, it shows you, it's interesting that Noren's form. I mean, I think we've got three players ranked inside the top 15 that are debuts, which is just staggering.
Yeah, just talking about those
players.
Well,
it's not staggering. It just shows that it's not an open competition, the Masters, for me. You know, these players have played in Open Championships, US Open. I just think the qualification criteria for the Masters should expand a little. It has got a lot better over the years. But the fact that it's a short field, it means that quality players like Alex Noren don't get in the field. No, I don't think that's right.
Hatton and Rahman, the other two players that you alluded to there. Tyrrell Hatton, first of all, four top tens in his last five events. And he's making waves on the world stage, isn't he now, Tyrrell?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's played three times in the US in preparation for it, finishing the top 10 each time. He's been in incredible form ever since he won at the Old Course last October. I think one of the things for Tyrrell will be, although he's playing very well, Masters can be a frustrating place to play. And I think with the greens and the slopes there, I think patience will be the key for him, not getting too upset with three putts and things like that. But he's a great guy to follow on social media if you don't follow him. He's at thatton91 on Twitter, and he's been posting a lot about his travels to Augusta, so a good one to keep an eye on.
The other player that's made waves in terms of the world rankings from a European point of view, although on the PGA Tour, and although he is eligible, obviously, to play for the European Ryder Cup side now. John Rahm, who came through the college system in America, Spencey. Masters debut, twice a runner-up in WGC events, a winner on the PGA Tour. Could he do a Fuzzy Zeller-Worth win first time?
Yeah, he could, yeah. Who knows how good this guy is, really. That's the thing. You just don't know how good John Rahm. Unfortunately, I tipped him up at the start of the year, someone to follow, and I didn't put him in my fantasy team, so that's really cost me. What an idiot! I didn't even go with my own tips.
Schoolboy error.
But no, he's the real deal. This John Rahm. So yeah, he's the unknown, I think.
A lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, a lot of pressure.
A lot of focus on him.
He's handled the pressure so well so far. I mean, every time he's up against a good field at a good event, he seems to perform.
How old is he?
21.
He looks about 34.
Yeah.
He looks solid, doesn't he? He looks experienced and unflappable to me.
Yeah, every time I see him, I just think if you were going to create a golfer in a lab that was going to do well at a place like Augusta, it could be John Rahm. He's got everything.
Well, time to hear from the Spaniard, who's been speaking about his decision to play in the Houston Open just a week before his Masters debut.
You know, I've heard many different things of how to get ready for Augusta or any other major, and I've heard, you know, people playing the week before, other players not playing the week before. I'm just trying to figure out what, you know, is best for me. This time I decided that I'm going to play the week before. When I won Farmers, I played a week before. I've played three tournaments in a row before, and I've always done good on the second and third one. Obviously, I did pretty good on this first one too. So I'm just trying to learn.
He's got a great mental attitude towards the game. Stats-wise, does his game fit Augusta?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's tough to tell. He's never played there before, but on paper, it's incredible. I mean, if you take every player that's in the field at this year's Masters and look at their scrambling versus the field in 2017, so how well have they outperformed the field in terms of scrambling? John Rahm's number one, gets up and down about 76% of the time, which is almost 20% better than the field that he's played in. And, you know, we've spoken about Willett, we've spoken about Mickelson, how good their short games are around Augusta and how key that is. It's a scary stat for a guy that's just known for hitting it long. So
yeah, no doubt about that. 22 years old, making his Masters debut, and a chance certainly to win it. Let's talk about another Spaniard, Jamie Spence, Sergio Garcia, who of course got back in the winner's enclosure earlier this season on the European Tour with success out in Dubai. Since then, middling form. I think the greater sporting world, certainly when it comes to supporters, would love to see Sergio Garcia win a major. Could it be his week?
I doubt it. On this golf course, it seems to be a course that, again, doesn't quite fit his eye. Sergio won top 10 last 12 years. I can't remember him really challenging at Augusta on a Sunday. So I would say the Open Championship is Sergio's best chance of winning a major.
Again, yeah, like Stenson hits a lot of greens, but maybe he doesn't putt that well when he gets on them at Augusta. But kind of interesting to see he's got a similar preparation as Danny had last year. He won in Dubai at the Desert Classic. He's had a few other top 10s and come in a little bit under the radar like Danny did last year. So maybe it's the same old as the 2016 Masters.
Be a popular winner.
It would be, as would Justin Rose, who has been up on leaderboards, of course, at Augusta in the past. He seems to start well. He's had opportunities to win. He's come close-ish on a couple of occasions. Could it be Justin's year?
Could be. 12th Masters this for Justin, runner-up in 2015. I know he's preparing for this like he did for the Olympics. You know, he missed a match play. He played this week in Houston, finished 15th. So he's had a nice steady start. He's coming to the boil nicely. But I just think 4 and 5 foot putts for Justin have been a bit of an issue over the last year or so. He's trying everything to eradicate this, but those stats don't read well on these greens. That would be the fear. But if the putt holds up, he'll be there because it's a course. He strikes the ball so well.
It's strange to say that because he's won a US Open.
Yeah, and I have to agree. It was fancy that the putting, when you see him, he's got this new grip. He's got a new putter. He just looks like he's searching for something a little bit on the greens. But over the last 5 years, he's made more birdies and eagles than any other player at the Masters. And you can't laugh at that. So I think he's got good form there. He's one of the best drivers of the golf balls around. He's obviously a good iron player. And if he has his putting week, I'm not going to tip my hand to my fantasy picks this week, but I can tell you that he's certainly in contention.
He's put a lot of length on as well, Justin, over the last couple of years. Hits the ball a long way now. So he's added that to his armoury.
Okay, quick fire on a number of players that will be hoping do well from a European point of view. Rafa Cabrera-Bao for you, Spency. Top 20 in his Masters debut last year.
Well, he's just hovering, isn't he, Rafa? He's waiting to win, and we're waiting to see him win, but I don't think he'll be here.
Thomas Peters, Jamie Kay.
Yeah, has the game, hits it long, but he's a rookie, and will he be able to compete in his first outing? I'm not sure.
Lee Westwood, Spency, good friend of yours, I know, five top tens in his last seven Masters.
I think Lee fancies himself, you know. I think he's under the radar here, and he could surprise. Came close last year. He was right in there, right to the end. He's done it a few times.
Matt Fitzpatrick's time's ahead of him, I think.
Yeah, 67 in the final round last year was just so impressive. He's the kind of guy that can get streaky on the greens, and he's definitely somebody that I've heard a lot about in the run-up to this.
And Spency, Tommy Fleetwood, who stepped up big time this year to win out in the golf.
Yeah, I think if the rains are coming and the course is going to play long, it will suit Tommy. I don't think it will suit Matt so much. Tommy's pitching will have to be spot on for him to do well here, but leading the race at Dubai, Tommy Fleetwood, good player, why not?
Well, one man who secured his place at the Masters just last week is Ross Fisher. The Englishman says he can't wait to get going at Augusta.
It's just very unique, and I always feel very privileged and very, very special, very honoured to go down Magnolia Lane and play the course. So putting is a massive key around there. I think also strategy, you know, you don't always have to fire at a pin. You can hit it 30, 40 feet left or right of a pin to use the slope to actually bring it back down to the pin. So, you know, this will be my fifth time there. So I'm still learning the spots to hit it. Where's best to miss, where's not so good to miss. And obviously having Woody on the bag, he's been there a number of times. And obviously having Ken Brown's input, he's been there a number of times. So, you know, Ken's just been saying, you know, practice those holding out putts from anything from 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 feet, you know, downhill, left to right break, right to left break. So I've got a little bit of inside information and stuff that I'll be chatting to Woody about on Monday. So we're fully prepared come the start on Thursday.
And many thanks to our friends at the Golfing World podcast for that Ross Fisher audio. Great to see him back amongst the big boys again, because a few years ago he was challenging for top honours. Then he had a bit of a dip, didn't he, in his career? But he's back at the top table once more.
Yeah, Ross is a really interesting one. He's maybe one of the most underrated players, I think, in the game, especially on the European Tour. He finished top 15 at Augusta in 2011, so I think this is his fifth appearance he's making. He's entering on the back of two straight top fives. He hits it long. I think he's averaging 310 yards off the tee. He's having sort of a very good year putting. He's a real dark horse this week, and one of the maybe the most interesting stats we've seen about Augusta is of all the players in the field, only one player has hit more greens in regulation in this year's field than Ross Fisher at Augusta. So, I mean, that just bodes really well, and I think he's a real dark horse to keep an eye on.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It'd be fascinating to watch him play. Anyone else from a European Tour point of view, boys, that you might think could go well? Soren Kjeldsen, Shane Lowry,
Francesco Molinari. I'd love Soren Kjeldsen to play well. He's playing the best golf of his career, isn't he? He must be a bit of a surprise to Soren as well, but it'd be great to see him do well. Andy Sullivan.
Bernd Wiesberger.
Yeah, I looked at Bernd about my fantasy team, actually, Dan. But I don't know.
I think Louis Oosthuizen, he always seems to play well here. Seems to be healthier than he has been the last couple of years entering in.
So that's the best of the European Tour. What about those plying their trade on the PGA Tour? Obviously, the Americans come with a strong hand. Phil Mickelson, 3-time Masters champion, Mr. Spence. What do we think?
Got to love him around there, haven't you? And I still think he's fit enough and good enough to win at Augusta. His record's incredible. This is his 25th Masters, by the way. How about that? 25 times he's played around there, and his record is incredible. I do, as I said about the left-handers, it's a big advantage because you can cut the ball, you can control the ball easier. He's got to have his eyes on the US Open, though, hasn't he?
Yeah.
To complete his grand slam. I mean, love to win another green jacket, I bet, but yeah, that US Open, he's probably got another 3 goes of that, I'd say.
Yeah, I don't think the head greenskeeper even knows the course as well as Phil Mickelson does. He just seems to know every inch of it, and his short game looks unbelievable every time you switch on the TV. He's chipping in, and I think we're seeing a bit of a modern Phil. I think he seems to be in good shape physically, in good shape mentally, and does he have one more major in him? Who knows? But actually, it's a question from Lee on Twitter for you guys is, why specifically do you think Phil's done so well at Augusta, and do you think he'll win one more major?
I think he will win one more major.
Do you?
Yeah, I think he will. I'd love to see him win another major. Well, you know, look, as you boys have just alluded to, as Jamie shakes his head.
I'm not disagreeing with it.
Look, his Masters record is phenomenal. I know that he was second in 2015. He's missed the cut either side of that, but he's got so many top tens there. He just seems to rock up. And I think he's more likely to win another Masters than to win a US Open. I think the pressure is just immense when he rocks up at the US Open.
Yeah, I think
all those second places, his whole season revolves around it. And he's likely to go under the radar and win a Masters or even another Open. When he won our Open, he almost went under the radar when he won the one. I knew he won in Scotland the week before that, but he wasn't really expected to win it that week.
You forget, don't you, the Troon, him and Spence, and what they dished up for us. And he's 46, Phil, and Jack won his Masters when he was 46 back in 1986. So I don't think age is an issue because he's fit enough. But the reason why he's done so well is because of his short game. He putts fantastic, makes loads of birdies, and as I said, left-hander round there, they cut the ball. I keep saying it. All the main holes go right to left. And it's a huge advantage. That's why Bubba's done so well. Bubba's record elsewhere isn't as great, is it? He's won two green jackets.
Yeah, just speaking of Bubba, as we can do now, a terrific record at Augusta. You talk about Phil keeping himself in shape. Bubba's lost a bit of weight. He's more svelte now. Has that affected his game negatively, do you think?
Yeah, he maybe looks good on the tee, but I think when he's getting on the course, he's not looking so good at the moment. I don't know what it is. He's got a new ball in play, and he's fiddling a bit with equipment, and he's just really struggling on the greens, and that's not what you want to see from a contender going into the Masters.
But a horses for courses, you know he's going to rock up and fancy it at Augusta.
Yeah, but he's always looked a bit edgy, hasn't he, over those short putts. I'd have to say, when he was winning, he didn't look like he fancied him, and if he really doesn't fancy him, you can't discount him because of how he plays and how he hits it, but... Yeah, that little short stick would worry me.
What about Patrick Reed, who's not got a top 10 in a major, but he's got enough sort of top 20s. And whenever we watch him, we've sort of taken him to our hearts in Europe because of what he's done in the Ryder Cup. And we know he's a bullish character. Could he perform well this week?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, he's quickly becoming sort of Mr. Ryder Cup on the US side, a bit like Ian Poulter, known for doing very well there and maybe struggling a little bit in the majors. I think he's played 12 events since his amazing Ryder Cup, and he's only had two top 10s. But his game, he hits it right to left. He hits it long when he's playing well. He's putting well. He just seems, if he got into contention, that he would absolutely love it round there. But he's never really performed well in the majors. But he's one that I think people should look out for. I think he's the kind of guy that thrives off an atmosphere, and there's not many atmospheres like Augusta on the start of April.
Other PGA Tour pros to look out for. Jamie, we just saw Russell Henley stamp his ticket to Augusta by winning in Houston. It's his third try at Augusta. We've got the likes of Matt Kuchar, maybe. Daniel Berger's playing well on the PGA Tour. Who do you think might go well from an American point of view that we haven't mentioned?
Well, Henley will be skipping his way down Magnolia Lane as we speak, no doubt. But I'm going to go away from America. Let's look around the world a little bit more. Let's look to South Africa. Louis Oosthuizen has come close here before. Charles Schwartzel, not talked about, Charles, crept in under the radar. And Brandon Grace, what about him as well? There's three quality players from South Africa who people should focus on.
Yeah, well, since you fudged my question in a politician's way by not talking about Americans, Jamie Kennedy, maybe you can.
I'll give you an American and a bit out of left field as well. Definitely one of my dark horses this week is a man named Bill Haas. He's a classy player. He's done very well at the match play. I think he finished third at the match play a couple of weeks ago. Hits the ball right to left. He's one of the best ball strikers on tour, and I think he's finished in the top 25 the last 4 years at the Masters, but definitely under the radar. Not many people's fantasy teams, but he'll certainly be around mine.
One American that won't be playing, Spencey, Tiger Woods.
Not a surprise, is it, unfortunately, for Tiger? Listen, having all those back operations, I'm surprised he can play golf at all, to be honest with you, but to compete round here, it's just too big an ask for him. It's sad.
We've had an in-depth look at the field for this year's Masters, but who do you think will be wearing the green jacket come Sunday night? I'm going to allow two picks for you both, a favourite and someone who's more of an outsider. Jamie Kennedy, you're going to go first.
It's tough. It always seems to be a hard one to pick for Augusta, but I'll put my neck on the line, and I'm going as one of my favourites, I think, Justin Rose. I think he's trending the right way. I think he's got good history there. And then my outsider is like I've just mentioned, is Bill Haas.
Okay.
Trending the right way.
Do you know what that means,
no,
Jamie Spence?
I'm not trending. What trending?
Who do you like?
Well, for my main tip, I'm toying between Rory and Ricky Fowler, but I like what Ricky said last week. I know he had a putting problem. I'm going to go with Ricky as my main pick. I think he's coming bang into form. And as an outsider, not much of an outsider, but Justin Thomas as well, another American, I think, course will suit.
OK, I'll go for Dustin Johnson. I know you boys have both spoken of him, but you've not picked the favourite. So I will, to make it four wins on the spin and his first green jacket. And I'll put up Mark Leishman as well, who was terrific in Bay Hill. I know his Masters record isn't great. He was fourth that 1 year, and outside of that, he's missed the cut. But he just seems a different player now, doesn't he?
I like him a lot, Leishman. Won the Ned Bank as well. Yeah. Good player. He can produce quality golf.
So those are the tips. What about Fantasy Race to Dubai selections? Jamie Kay, before we get yours, just tell us about the Fantasy Race to Dubai game and how you can enter.
Yeah, the Fantasy Race to Dubai game has been going on for a while. It's on EuropeanTour.com. If you navigate to the My European Tour section, there's about 25,000 teams now we have entered into it, and pick six players each week on Monday, Tuesday or Wednesday, and points are based on Race to Dubai points. You can set up a private league or a head-to-head league, or just play in the public league. I think the three of us around the table have got a private league that we're in. How are you guys getting on?
I thought Mr. Spence was above us all. Okay, but I'm not 100% certain.
You've got to get these big tournaments right, and I've not got Rory in and World Match Play. Left Rahm. Why did I leave Rahm?
I left Rahm out.
Okay, I had Rahm.
Okay, we need a half dozen from you each. We need six to follow. European players.
I'm not giving you my secrets.
Can change them. To give our listeners a pointer.
Well, Rory.
Who's your team?
Rory and Rose have got to be in there.
Yeah,
Remember, we can't have all the Americans. It's only
European Tour players. No, it's European Tour players only.
But you can get some sneaky ones. You can get Patrick Reed in there, can't you?
You can, because a European Tour member.
You can get some. So maybe
Rory,
Reed.
Rose, who else?
I've got Ross Fisher in my team. I've got Louis in my team.
Yeah, Louis in mine as
well. I've also got a very big outsider based maybe purely on his match play form. But he did beat Spieth and took Dustin closest. Is Hideki Tanahara. Sorry, I can't pronounce his name, but he's in my team.
Sneaky, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Nobody
sneaky.
Else is going to pick him.
Well,
so.
they will do now.
Yeah. He shouldn't be allowed to play.
anybody else maybe sneaky that might fit into your team? We might not disclose the full six.
A lot of people
have
fancied Thomas Peters.
Yeah.
He's well fancied. What will Lee Westwood do? I think if you're behind, like I am, I've got to go for a few flyers to try and get back in there.
I think Lee's going to get in mine.
It's already got to. We're only hitting April, and already I'm panicking.
Dan, I feel like you're just asking us for your pick. So
correct.
We need to put you on the line.
Thank you. Who are you going with?
I'm going to go for Rory McIlroy. I'm going to go for Justin Rose. I'm going to go for Lee Westwood. That's three of my team. And I'm going to leave three private. Obviously, when they're up on the site, I think you can look at everyone's team can't you? So. We can't give everything
but
away.
But not before it starts.
Once it starts,
you can then
browse
other people's
selections. Well, you just have to wait. I can't give my secrets away.
But you'll recap it in next week's show.
Yes, I will recap it in next week's show when hopefully I'll be towards the top of the leaderboard. But it's European Tour players only. That's what we have to say. Although Patrick requalifies because he's a European Tour member. So we can't have the likes of Dustin Johnson.
No, but you can have Louis. You can have Grace. Yes. There's lots of guys around the world that you can select from. It's a great competition. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, indeed. If you want a pointer, and probably a more sensible pointer to how you should pick your team, keep an eye on EuropeanTour.com this week for their Fantasy 3 to watch. The Masters. What else can we look forward to seeing on the European Tour website and on social media over the course of this week, Jamie?
Yeah, we've got a busy week. We've got a good team out there in Augusta and team back here in Wentworth. We'll be running the live blog from Augusta all Wednesday through Sunday with all the latest from what's going on the first major of the year. We'll be covering the par 3 contest. We've got a nice piece on Arnold Palmer from Augusta, remembering him first year he wouldn't have been there. We're doing a player blog with Tyrrell Hatton. We're going to be sitting down with him actually this afternoon to get his thoughts on his rookie appearance. And we've got a nice tribute to Seve going out next weekend. He would have turned 60 on Masters Sunday, so it seems fitting that we give him some credit and look back at his favourite memories of Augusta, and then all the latest social media from the players and from the tour. Keep an eye on the channels and see what's going on.
To other news now, and Danny Willetts and Lee Westwood are the latest stars to join the impressive field for the BMW PGA Championship, the first event in the European Tour's new Rolex series at Wentworth Club next month. And don't forget that we will be running live tour radio from the site for every single day as the first player tees off on the Thursday to the final putt drops on Sunday. Also confirming their appearances, but at a different Rolex Series event, are Darren Clarke and Graham McDowell. The major winning duo have announced they'll be teeing it up at the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open, hosted by the Rory Foundation in July. And Open champion Henrik Stenson is to make his first appearance on Scottish soil since securing the greatest victory of his career when he takes to the Dundonald Links in July for the 2017 Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open. And finally, South Korea's So Yun-ru has secured her second major title with a playoff victory over American Lexi Thompson after a dramatic final round at the ANA Inspiration. Ryu birdied the 18th in the playoff to edge ahead of Thompson, who had earlier been handed a four-stroke penalty mid-round for an incident from the previous day. And just before we wrap up, lastly on the Masters, gentlemen, what are you really looking forward to? What do you hope to see over the course of the 4 days? Who might be a surprise? What are your final thoughts on the first major of the year?
I think for me, I'm going to be tuning in on Thursday to see Jordan Spieth on the 12th tee. I'm interested to see what club he picks, what Michael Greller says to him, and how he handles that again.
That's cruel.
That is cruel.
That is cruel. I'm looking forward to seeing how Rahm plays, because I think he's the next superstar, isn't he? And Dustin Johnson, I mean, this is his moment, really, isn't he? Can't be playing better. He's played 7 or 8 Masters now, so he knows the golf course. His game's in great shape. And similarly with Justin Rose, actually, we talked to him. He's 36 now. Now, I can't believe he's 36, Justin. So, but his game's in a great shape as well. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
It's going to be fantastic. There's no doubt about that. Fingers crossed for a European winner. That is your lot for now. Next week, we'll look back on all of the drama from the first major of the year. We can't wait. Plus, we'll preview the Trophy Ascender as the tour heads to Morocco. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. And don't forget, you can send a question to the show. Tweet it to @EuropeanTour using the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from Jamie Spence.
Goodbye, everybody.
And from Jamie Kennedy.
Goodbye.
And from myself, Dan Roebuck. It is goodbye. Enjoy the Masters. We'll see you next time.